Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Nancy Friedemann Sanchez creates artistic cultural narrative from a feminist point of view. Born in Bogota, Colombia, to an American father and a Colombian mother, she grew up among artists and thinkers. She lived and worked as an artist in New York for two decades, but when she moved to Nebraska, she found herself deeper in America and deeper in a new American experience. You can see her work on exhibition in Vermilion at the University of South Dakota, and you can meet her tonight, this afternoon and tonight, for an artist talk at 2 p.m. in room 172 of the Warren M. Lee Center for the Fine Arts, and then an artist reception to close the exhibition tonight, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. There at the University of South Dakota. Nancy Friedemann Sanchez joins us now from SDPB's Vermilion Studio. Nancy, welcome back.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry I couldn't come down to sit with you in person. I so want to meet you, so I'm hoping our paths will cross again in the future. But let's talk a little bit about the exhibit now and your art. And one of the things that comes to mind for me is that so much is happening in America right now that deals with cultural identity and gender and immigration and the American story. And I'm wondering what you see as the role of art in influencing that conversation, in participating in that conversation.
Well, I think that artists function like antennas. They perceive what is going on in the world, and they use some of their own experience to create metaphor. And I think many artists right now are doing just that.
Do you find yourself and the work of artists influenced by what's happening? But do you think the art then can also influence, when viewers come through an exhibition, do you think that it changes them? Is that your business to think about what the viewer sees or what the art gallery goer experiences?
Well, I don't necessarily think that art has that goal to change the world. I do think that it mirrors it. And for viewers, if it produces a curiosity, and it gives the impulse to think about what it is that it's making in the mind of that person, what reaction, I think that's very important. I think that there is art that uses, let's say, a social practice that aims to change the world. I would say that in my own work, I don't have that aim. I would like it to produce curiosity, to look into the past, to understand the present, to go to history and do research, to think about, your own present circumstances.
Mm. Talk to me a little bit about scale and size and differentiation in size. When you create art, for other people to experience, how do you sort of evaluate, what that experience is based on scale?
Well, I can only speak for myself, but I'm very interested in using a monumental scale. And it kind of works like this. My research often has to do with work that is historically produced by women or by minorities. And what I do is I magnify it and I place it in a large format that has usually been the space of patriarchy. So I heroicize small marks and I make them visible. It's basically I create the metaphor of making what is invisible visible. So scale plays a huge part in my work. And when you see the exhibition, the work is monumental. So yeah. I have a piece called River where I have looked at historical lace done during the colony, and lace that represents nature. And I turn that and I magnify it. I make those stitches very big. I make them with ink and I make them very large, and that becomes an expansive landscape. Mm-hmm. And the drawing in the space is around 60 feet long. Hmm. So, yeah.
And as you understand the history of when that fiber art, that lace work was originally done, What was the context? Was there a political context? Was it a context of submission? Was it a context of subversion? Was it ignored? Expand on that, please.
Well, the lace that I've researched, I actually found it during a fellowship at the Smithsonian Institution, and what I found was that it was kept in a basement, in a vault, beautiful vault, very well taken care of. Most of it had been donated, and many of the people that were caring for it were often women academics, mostly women, and many others were volunteer teachers, volunteer women that had retired, and that they appreciated this so much that they took it on. So they considered themselves caretakers of these great collections that went back to lace that was either produced in the Americas, in North America, during the war of emancipation from the English, and also in that time it was work that, I mean, you could see in that work you could read submission, but you can also think of resistance, because women couldn't work in the public space. So it was work that women had to do in the private domain. And during the war, when all the men were out fighting, women were creating a form of subsistence. And it was children from very young ages to the oldest women in a household. And they were all making lace from the patterns that were brought from Europe, patterns that were inscribed in pieces of parchment. And then men would come around the different households and pick up this lace, and this would keep every household going on until the men came back. So when you think of that historical moment, you see resistance. So it's not only the work of oppressed women in a home. It's women that in their participation are helping the larger cause.
So when, you know, now that we live in a different time, much different time from then, and yet there are, you know, you're still using these lace patterns in your art. There are people, you know, largely women, who are still doing lace work, not as much. How do you sort of see in contemporary times recreating that kind of art, participating in that ongoing artistic conversation?
Well, I see a continuation of that work. For example, in the work of these caretakers at the museum that care for these collections. I think often, even though women participate a lot more in the public sphere, there's still an imbalance in the domestic and on who cares for what. So I do think that there are, we can't say that these are post-feminist times. This is a continuum of a long, long history. So what I do in my work, which is not only with lace, because I'm also looking at colonial iconography from Colombia, where I was born, and I look at that colonial iconography, which is usually a hybrid of the Spanish and the indigenous. And I look at that, and I do the same thing as with the lace. I magnify it, I recreate it, and I make it very large.
So tell that, and this ties into sort of work with botanicals, doesn't it? The flowers and the...
Yes.
Yes. Tell me more, a little bit about the history of those images.
Well, in this show, I mean, that those botanicals are represented in the lace. So a lot of the flowers that appear are... they could be American flowers or they could be European flowers. In the case of some of the pieces that are in the exhibition, the nature that appears there is nature that was recorded during the colony. So basically what happened during the colony, you had naturalists coming from Spain to Latin America, Mexico, and South America, and recording the holdings, because everything was that was what they were beginning to own. So go and record the flowers, the plants, and everything had a commercial end. Same thing with all of the fauna. And the same thing happened in North America. But in all of that, you also had commerce that was going on between the Americas and Asia, and iconography and objects that were being brought here. So, for example, Chinese lacquer was very popular in the courts of Europe, but it was very expensive. And in Colombia, there was a tradition made called mopa-mopa, and mopa-mopa was made with a vegetable resin. And it had all of, initially, I mean, this is before Columbus, it had a whole iconography that was indigenous, and it went on pots and different bowls and objects. And when the Spanish arrived and saw this, they were like, wow, this looks like, in my own words, looks like Chinese lacquer, which was very expensive. And they imposed all of this imagery that was European and Asian. But again, same thing as with the lace. You could say, well, all of this only, it's all about imposition. But there are also forms of resistance. And those show in the hybridity of imagery that comes up. So I'm interested in that, in how there is a hybridity that moves on all the way to our contemporary times. But that history is there.
That's so fascinating. Tell me a little bit about the space that you sort of occupy when you're creating the art, because as we talked about the scale and you know, all the history and the narrative that's part of this, when you're working, tell me what it's like to be you.
I think of the history of women and how women have worked in the private sphere, and I work in that way. So I kind of straddle those two worlds. I work very often at home, and I combine it with all of my other family responsibilities. So I work at home, and I work work like if I was, in some cases, like if I was making lace. I work with a small brush, with small materials, and then I take all of my pieces and I go to the studio, which is a large studio, and I recreate it in a very large scale. So I kind of go between those two worlds. But I think of that history of the women working in the home, and I have recreated that entirely.
Yeah. That must put you in a really interesting headspace as well. Is it, is it meditative? Is it, can it make you emotional as you do it? And you sort of have this, connection as you're in the process?
Yes, definitely. And it makes me think about what it was that women thought about when historically, being at home and working on a sampler or embroidering a tablecloth or because I do work in that way very much.
Yeah. We have just about a minute left, and I'm wondering what's next for you as we, you have an artist talk today and the reception, but what are you working on now for the future that we might see from you?
Well, I love making sculpture. So, and I'm always, my work is based on research. So when you see flowers, or when you see lace, it's all research. So for example, with the mopa-mopa, I look at, the flowers are not invented. They're really researched in colonial iconography, in indigenous iconography. So I expect to continue my research and pull out new work.
All right. I want to follow along. Do you have social media that people can
I do.
Where do we find you online?
My name, .com, nancyfriedemann.com.